three in the air. It's good.
Throws it down with two hands.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I cannot stand one shining.
Oh. Lucas hit it from the right side.
This is so unlike you, Rich.
But you're so positive and sentimental and optimistic.
Best dad ever.
Call me sappy. You can do it. My school losing by one wasn't a shining moment for me. The moment stunk.
Earlier on the show, Baylor head coach Scott Drew, WWE champion Bobby Lashley. Coming up, NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, plus 76ers president Daryl Morey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 2 hours in, and our third hour is going to be the most packed one that we have, but we'll sneak in some calls with you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you want to chat with us, you can. We're here for you. Daryl Morey, the lead executive grocery shopper of the Philadelphia 76ers, who are now tied atop the Eastern Conference with the Brooklyn Nets after dispatching with Brockman Celtics last night. Daryl will be on this program in the middle of this hour. I'm going to be interviewing J.J. Watt at his Sloan MIT conference on a Zoom tomorrow. So I figured let's have Daryl come on and tell me what he wants out of that chat. What does he want? And again, the thing that I'm genuinely concerned about is due to, you know, this being analytics. If he's concerned that my third time through the order of questioning, he's going to pull me out, you know, like Blake Snell. And so I'm just wondering if he's going to have somebody waiting in the wings. And that moment's for me, I'll be honest with you. as me describing it is just right there.
Yeah, you take that time.
Right. But joining us here on the show is one of our favorite guests from the world of NASCAR, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show in his first season as a driver of the 23 DoorDash Toyota Camry for the 2311 racing team of Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan. That Michael Jordan is Bubba Wallace. That Bubba Wallace. How are you, Bubba?
I'm good, Mr. Rich. How you doing?
I am doing better for talking to you. What has it been like to race in this car for this new team so far?
A lot of fun, I will say that, and a lot of potential, a lot of growth for us. So all those things, it shapes up for an exciting year. I'm really looking forward to, especially the next couple races on the schedule, starting at Martinsville this weekend. Going to be a great outing for us. I have a lot of faith and some good vibes, you know, going into this weekend. So beyond excited, but really just thankful for the opportunity. You know, without our partners in place, you know, you mentioned DoorDash, you know, Toyota, Dr. Pepper, McDonald's, Root. It's been a crazy whirlwind ever since we announced in November to where we're at now. We're still playing catch up, but man, we've really been hitting on a lot of good notes. So I'm excited about it.
Now, obviously, you know, you had options and, obviously Bubba, I'd imagine, I guess you can't say obviously I'd imagine. So I'll say this. I would imagine when it first passed your ear gate, got into your head, that Michael Jordan would be interested in having you drive for a new team with him and Denny Hamlin. You were kind of that would make you pause for a second. What was that like in your conversations with MJ? I imagine you've had many, if not just a handful of them. What was that like, Bubba?
Yeah, well, leading up to the deal, I didn't have a conversation with him. It was just mainly with Denny and myself, and Denny was you know, before it was all signed, sealed, and delivered, he was all, you know, gung-ho about it and ready to roll, and I just kept trying to tell him, like, hey, man, as long as we got to get things signed before I'll get excited and jump on the hype train with you. But ever since it's been signed, it's been a lot of fun. I will never forget, you know, all the text messages I got after we did announce. The one text message that stood out the most was from an unknown number at the time, and it just said, at the end of it, just said MJ. And I'm like, well, there's only one MJ that I know of, so that's my new boss. So, that was pretty special. So to have him, you know, really in my back pocket, you know, for somebody to talk to and whatnot is really, really cool.
So what might he have, has he imparted any sort of competition advice in any way, shape, or form at all? Because obviously this is a new lane for him.
As big as a fan as he is of the sport, and he'll tell you he's been watching ever since, you know, as a kid coming down with his father. He loves that story, and such a great story of how he got hooked into NASCAR. But, you know, he's still learning everything, you know, especially from an ownership standpoint and actually having skin in the game. You know, he's learning about everything, and I'm sure he's definitely blowing up Denny's phone a lot more than mine, just making sure that everything's on track. And, and that we're shaped up for success, because I think out of both MJ and Denny, those guys don't accept failure, and neither do I. So I'm excited to be where I'm at. And, you know, we always strive to be greater than we were the previous day, and you always got to do that, you know, no matter what it is in life. So, you know, he's all invested. He's all in. Everybody in this organization is all in to continue to grow and make it bigger than what it is.
I mean, that's got to be a neat thing, too. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, to try and compare notes with you. I mean, I helped launch NFL Network, and, you know, this show is coming up on 7 years. There's nothing more gratifying than starting something new and from scratch that you have, you know, if not physical ownership, mental ownership of. And I'm wondering what that's been like for you, Bubba.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, seeing where everything has, you know, gone throughout my 17 years, 18 years. I don't know, math is hard at times. You know what I just thought about, to go sidetrack for a second?
Go for it.
Now, I know I'm young compared to who I'm talking to. Yeah. But it's like, man, I just thought about it. I've been 10 years out of school. Geez, that's a long time. So math is really hard for me right now. So back to where I was. 17 years I've been doing it. You know, the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations that you go through. And it's not even just me. It's just, you know, whatever you come through in life and whatever you chase as a dream in life, like, it's not a cakewalk. And that's where you learn and grow as a human being. And, you know, it's funny, that's the way you figure out life, is how to navigate through the ups and downs. And so to see where I'm at now is really a blessing. You know, I mentioned our partners before, being decked out in Columbia gear, the whole nod, having just everybody a part of it, to see where I'm at, having potential in the team, having people that believe in me. You know, it's super special. It's an honor. It's humbling. It's a heck of an experience, and something that I'll cherish and continue to stay focused on for as long as I can.
Bubba Wallace here on the Rich Eisen Show. Athletes in all sports, team or individual, 2020 was a unique year, to say the least. And unique is, you can unpack that word quite a bit. I would have to sit here and say, again, individual, team sports, any athlete in 2020, I'd put you in the top five of journey, wild. I would say potentially anxious, anxiety. What did you learn from 2020? You said about growing as a person. Your 2020 campaign that did end up, obviously, with you signing with a new team. What did you learn about yourself, Bubba Wallace?
That there's no such thing as pressure anymore. when you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you have basically all the eyes in the world watching you, you know, go through all those things, and to still be able to come out and produce really good race results for our team at the time, you know, it just shows, people talk about, man, there's got to be so much pressure racing or driving for MJ in the position you're in now. And I said, if you watched last year, this is nothing but a cakewalk now, so I'm all right.
Right. So everything from here on out becomes that, just what, much more easier, for the lack of a better phrase? Because you've already been through.
Yeah, I'd say that. You know, I don't exactly know how to put it, but right. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. I mean, it's just, to be honest with you, Rich, it was so much going on. Like sometimes I didn't even, you know, focus on getting sleep, because I was just doing so much. I was just being pulled in so many different directions. Or, you know, I would, you know, sit here and live with my girlfriend and, you know, forget to say hey to her just because there was so much that had your mind elsewhere. And it was just like, wow. So to be able to navigate through that, and people ask what one of my strengths is, and I say compartmentalizing things. Being able to focus on one thing. If I have 10 things on the schedule, somehow, and I have a race at the end of that schedule, somehow my mind is still ready to go and to be able to produce a result for the race. So like compartmentalizing things and not letting things get built up too much. I've crashed. I've had that crashing moment where things have gotten too much, but for the most part, it's been on the positive side.
And, you know, where do you stand on the subject of mixing real-world stuff and sports Where do you now stand, having gone through 2020, finding yourself at the forefront of conversations about the American flag, about so much, and of the, I mean the Confederate flag, I meant obviously, and the where do you stand on the subject matter of using your platform to speak about something outside of NASCAR or sports? Where do you stand on that subject?
Yeah, well, so I've what I've been saying, we are the entertainment. People love to get away from real world problems to turn on football, to turn on baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and they're like, yes, I don't have to deal with whatever problems I have going on for the next 3 to 4 hours. I get to watch my favorite athletes perform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the athletes are saying, this is our everyday life, and we have real-world problems too. And if I gain a following from my profession and I say one thing, and that's going to get people to stand up and listen and take pride in that and want to be a part of something much greater than themselves, then absolutely, I'm going to do that. So this whole mixing politics with sports, it's not politics. It's, again, it's being a human being. It's experiencing what life is thrown at you. Yes, my voice carries weight other than Jim Bob down the road here. Like, yeah, like that's how society is. I believe that we are all the same. We put on our pants the same way. We bleed the same way. We cry the same way. But just because I'm an athlete and I drive cars and I'm on television on Sundays means I am already automatically greater than anybody else that's around me, which I don't believe that. I believe no matter what I do, what I say, it's the same as if somebody else said it. But the way society puts us on this pedestal, our voices impact on a much greater level. And I've had to find my way of overstepping boundaries throughout my year and knowing, like, oh, okay, this is totally different from thinking that I'm just Bubba Wallace, the guy who just happens to be a race car driver on the weekends. No, I'm the race car driver every day of the week. And so using my platform to create, good for all of us, I'll continue to do that till I can't do it anymore.
Including the Live to Be Different Foundation. Everybody could follow Bubba Wallace on Twitter and Instagram at Bubba Wallace. Best of luck in Martinsville. I know you got to run right now. Let's do this again soon. Always enjoy our chats.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks, sir.
Right back at you. That's Bubba Wallace right here. You can watch it on FS1 at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday night. Bubba Wallace here on the Rich Eisen Show. Shut up and drive, right? That'd be the version of it?
I think so, yeah.
One other thing, too. When he said that it's been 10 years since he's out of school and he talked about how long it's been and he's getting older, he said before all that, I know I'm feel like I'm getting old, and I know, in relation to who I'm talking to. Did he call me old?
I think you
catch that?
I caught that.
I think he just knows that you're older.
Older, yeah.
Yeah.
But not old.
But he said, I know in relation to who I'm talking to, by the way, I understand he didn't even do with an all due respect. I'm not saying he disrespected me.
No, he knows that you're older, but he also had a, man, I'm getting old moment.
I know that, but in relation to who he's talking to.
Well, here's the deal, Rich.
Is what he said. Like, he didn't want to offend me by saying I'm really old when he knows I'm already really old. There was a lot there. Did you pick up on that, or am I being overly sensitive?
Both are true.
Both. What? Yeah. I think it's another case of a guy who probably watched you back in the day on Sports Center.
Yeah, of course.
Like we all did,
No, I'm.
I think I can't speak for Bubba,
but he's 27.
Yeah,
okay, so maybe he didn't.
I know. So I know when he's like, "I'm getting old," somebody who's 51.
So Rich, when you
would say,
think about this,
"Come
when
on," like you should be your 51. But he should leave me to say that.
Oh, yeah.
So he took the power. He took the power from
me. No, he didn't take it. This is nothing about power, and it's not. I'm not saying he was being disrespectful. It's just, for me, difficult to be just assumed as the old person because I get it at home all the time my three kids who roll their eyes at me and get upset when I talk to their friends. Just like, hey, so what's going on? Like, because they're afraid
Dad,
I'm
going to. Stop.
Rich, but you do frequently come on and say, look, I'm a 51-year-old man.
I know that,
so,
but that's not old.
I know, but maybe...
Rich, shut up.
Rich, wow. Rich,
shut
Rich.
Up.
With all due respect.
You are old like I am. When you get over 50, we're old.
Wasn't Wilford Brimley 51 in Cocoon?
Oh, I passed the Cocoon line last year.
Yeah, yeah, we're old.
Nick Offerman just passed the Cocoon line. I see that on Twitter. There's somebody who tweets out at celebrities when they've passed the Cocoon
when
line.
When you get an AARP...
I know, I got one for 50.
You're old. That's it.
Once you get a card and when you turn 50.
When you turn 50.
I know that, but I don't need that. I'm not a retired person.
I know, but that's the old, that's a symbol.
Like inflation. Shouldn't we move that AARP
by the way,
year back?
What Bubba Wallace just said was incredibly deep and moving and introspective. And I just made it about me in that conversation.
Nice job, Rich.
Going to break. Daryl Morey, I'll make this about me when we come back. It'll be great. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, let's go to the phone lines right here. Mike in Orlando, Florida, here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
I have a suggestion for Del Tufo's new boat's name.
Okay.
Based on his little snafu, we'll call it, yesterday on Peacock. How about we just go with Batship Crazy and end the conversation?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He said ship.
He said ship.
I did say ship.
He said ship.
Unlike Del Tufo. Yesterday, but just end the conversation.
I actually said ship.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're different. I'm sure you're right. I like that. Bat Ship Crazy.
Mike, that is a really good name.
Well done, Mike. Thank you
so
much.
That is a really good
name. I don't hate that.
I don't hate that either.
So there you go.
No, but then I'd be thinking about my ex-wife every day.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's true, because that's how you describe her.
By the way, you talk about her enough. It seems like she's always on your mind.
You're always on my mind.
There you go.
There's hate.
Just saying.
That's disposition.
How long have you been divorced? Is it a quarter century now?
Oh, this is, we're 18 years.
18 years now.
Woo!
It's over. Moved on.
Right, time to move on.
Nope. So were you married when NFL Network began?
No, 2003? No, no. We were separated at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. We were already.
All right. Because I've only known you one way.
I went through hell the first 5 years of NFL
Network. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I was all done with the...
And here I thought I was, you know, the only guy on the job right there. I was literally, you know, working nonstop. Mike's dealing with stuff over there. So what Daryl Morey's calling in shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. What news items did we blow off?
Sure.
We can get to that now.
Yes.
Essentially here.
News items we blew off. So Tom Brady
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see he was at Disneyland yesterday with the, finally doing his thing?
Yes, saying
down
that
there
the reason why he continues to play is to get free trips to Disney World.
Very, very funny.
Which is an excellent flex as well as excellent a nice humble flex. Brag.
Yeah, so then he was on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan.
Yes.
Great quote, the one that's kind of making the rounds out of this. He said, when you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way that people do things.
Mm-hmm.
I was the new guy for the first time, and that was a really different experience. A little shot at the Patriot way.
It's not a shot at the
Patriot
way.
That's kind of what people are reading into and interpreting that as.
Patriot way. It is not a shot at it. The shot, you know, and this is why Tom Brady doesn't do interviews. A lot.
Yeah, probably. But.
You know, because we're just like, oh, God, we're reading into it. Of course, that's the whole point I was making about the Tom Brady effect in the NFL with all these other quarterbacks is he has shown that one way that he did it had him 20 seasons in and 10 Super Bowl appearances, nine Super Bowl appearances in, winning six. An incredible amount of success one way. After 20 years, he wanted to try it another way, or circumstances brought it about where he figured out, like, it's time for me to try it a different way. Now here he is saying, you know, I was new there, and, you know, it's another way of doing things. And if he didn't believe in the Patriot way anymore, he thought the Patriot way was no longer the way for him to go anymore, he went down to Tampa, and what's he supposed to say? I'm bringing the Patriot way with me. Bruce Arians, you need to conform to what I'm doing. No, I'm the new guy there. And it was, hey, found a new different way to do it. And if he is passive aggressively trying to flex on, like, it's not the only way to do it, like it's Bill's way or the highway, maybe you're reading something into it, but it's not like, hey, Stray, come down here while I'm hanging out with the Mandalorian and while I'm waving around a lightsaber and hanging out with Moff Gideon and whatever. And, you know, you come down here and I just want to give a nice little elbow to Belichick and then you can go back home.
No, of course.
Honestly, that's what I'm saying.
Like
what he's saying is it is true. And what he has done has gotten in Rodgers' skull and Russell Wilson's skull, and you saw it, that they already have said, maybe there's another way to do it. Or I'm going to do it my way. Like, I'm not restructuring. I'm going to go host Jeopardy. I'm going to actually have fun with the guy that's going ahead and saying, whose idea was it to kick the field goal in Final Jeopardy? You know, or Russell Wilson, I want to be protected. It's going to be my way. I'm going to stop saying go Hawks for a couple weeks.
And now he's back saying.
Exactly.
Off.
So I don't make much out of that, really.
All right. A couple other things. Brady is, you've seen other players do this, Gronk, Patrick Mahomes. Brady's launching an NFT platform called Autograph that's going to bring together some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, and fashion to create unique digital collectibles. So that's cool. Ian Rapoport saying the Jets have received a few phone calls and very little interest for the number two pick.
Yeah, what are people going to do?
Yeah, it's a pretty hefty price
tag.
You
got to do better than what the 49ers did, and the Jets just traded away their quarterback, so you got to now flip them one.
Yeah, pretty big price tag.
For them to move out of the spot where they can get the quarterback that they really like. So, all right.
You mentioned this pre-show. Not sure why it's news, but Les Snead is saying he envisions Matt Stafford being the team's quarterback for 5 to 8 years. So that's awesome. That would put Matthew, you know, in that late 30s, early 40s range here in Los Angeles, which is cool.
You know what? I'm seeing people say, like, this is news just because he's, what, got 2 years left on a contract, right?
Right. And so basically saying that, you know, he's going to get an extension here.
Why? Well, I mean, the idea is he's a better quarterback than Jared Goff. He's a better quarterback in the Rams' Sean McVay world than Jared Goff. Jared Goff was apparently, for whatever reason you're hearing, no longer tenable here in Los Angeles anymore with Sean McVay. So let's bring Stafford in. He's 32 years of age, right, Matthew Stafford?
I think he'll be 33 when the season
starts.
Okay,
so we're seeing Tom Brady playing till he's 44. Why wouldn't Matthew Stafford have a long tenure here in Los Angeles, California? You did give up all those future firsts just to bring him here. This makes complete and total sense that you're expecting this to be the move that works out for everyone. Why would Stafford not want to live out here with his family in Southern California, right?
He looks great in the uniform.
I don't know if you've heard, he knows Clayton Kershaw for a long time, and
I've probably heard that. Told
him about what's going on out here in Southern California and how you can enjoy it.
I've heard.
Yeah, I'm told that the Rams draft room, because smoke them if you got them on the first night of the draft, I'm told that, you know, you're allowed to have one in your own facility if you're vaccinated and all that stuff. Sure. I'm told that their draft room that they'd already planned just in case there was no draft room is out in Malibu overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Great time for just, like, you know, having a looking good, feeling good Lewis, you know, Billy Ray moment with Matthew Stafford, you know. I mean, why wouldn't he stick around?
Yeah, why not?
Another one of those things where makes total sense.
Total sense. A couple of transaction notes. The Bengals released Gio Bernard at his request.
He'd been
with the team for 8 years, running back, been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich, this name should ring a bell to you. The Cowboys are signing Brian Anger to a one-year deal.
Brian Anger. Do you know who Brian Anger is, TJ Jefferson?
Is he a special teams guy?
He is a special teams guy, but he's the most special of special teams guys.
Yes, he is.
Do you know who Brian? So do you know the significance of Brian Anger?
I know the name. I'm not sure of his significance.
Well, Seattle Seahawks fans know who Brian Anger is, as does Jacksonville Jaguar fans. If you want to look that up when he got drafted, Chris Brockman, right now, that would be great if you want to Google that, because I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head. But all I know is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time, you know, might have been kicking the tires on a quarterback, if you want, decided to leave Russell Wilson on the board. Third round, if I'm not mistaken, Chris Brockman?
I think that was the 2012.
He was drafted by the Jags in the third round of the 2012 draft.
That is correct.
Yep.
Decided to leave Russell Wilson on the board, and they chose
70th overall.
Brian Anger, 70th overall. And here I was sitting on the set, Radio City Music Hall, looking at Mike Mayock and looking at everybody around there. And, you know, it was still in my first decade of hosting an NFL draft on television.
Nice.
As you know, I'm deep into my second such decade.
Nice flex.
Settle down just a little bit.
There's no reason to. So I'm sitting there on the set, and, you know, it'd been a while of me just sitting there and hearing this team needs this team needs that, this team drafts this guy, and that team now is drafting that guy. And what do you think, Mike? What do you think? Analysts B, C, and D. Let's go to, I think it was still Schefter. He might have been gone by then.
Ooh, he was gone by then.
In 2012, he was gone by then? He's been on ESPN for almost 10 years? Don't say, oh, yeah, like you know for
I
a fact
did
when
that
Schefter
was my
left.
Last draft, no, and Adam, Schefter wasn't there.
Yeah, I started it in 2009, and Schefter wasn't
there.
He
was gone, huh?
Yeah, he was already gone.
Come on. So it might have been Lock and Forrest sitting in the pit?
Maybe.
Radio City
I think
Music
it was
Club?
Two of them. I think it was
and
Jason.
So
anyway, and
long story short, yeah. I'm sitting there on the set, and I'm like, I got to inject a little bit of something in here. And I just flipped out saying that punters are people too.
Oh, you went nuts.
Brian Anger.
That started the movement.
Was the movement started. He was the George Washington of the movement.
Started the movement.
Where I'm like, you know, 70th overall pick. Here's a punter. Let's go, Mike. Analyze this. I need to see a punter XL video. I need to see tape. What tape you got on Brian Anger? And I need the same intensity if this a quarterback just got drafted. Let's go. I pushed the pedal to the metal, and I'm like, punters are people, too. I made up T-shirts. I gave McAfee a T-shirt of punters are people, too, when he was still punting and kicking.
Facts.
I showed up in Indianapolis before Thursday night game. I sought out Pat and gave him a shirt.
Who wore one on the set? Ray Lewis?
I forgot who wore one on the
Ray
set.
Ray Lewis wore one, I think, after a Ravens
game. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Baltimore.
Because I gave one to Sam Cook, punter.
By the way, in Jacksonville's defense, when they drafted,
there is none. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say
they had just signed Chad Henne, so it makes sense why they would pass up on Russell Wilson.
Sure. There is no defense. There is no defense.
All right. Lastly, from the authorities after this Tiger Woods crash, the authorities out here in California say that speed was the primary factor. Tiger lost control of the vehicle, going 83 miles per hour in the 45 mile per hour zone.
7-something in the morning. Wow. I read that the car was going 75 at impact. Oh, my gosh.
He is lucky to be alive.
Rory McIlroy said this week that he saw Tiger a couple weeks ago.
Said he had dinner at Tiger's house.
That's good.
Justin Thomas has said the same as well.
All right. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll see where Daryl Morey is. Otherwise, we'll finish up this show. Scott Drew, Bobby Lashley, Bubba Wallace, right here on this busy Wednesday.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, as one big happy family, I am going to be interviewing J.J. Watt as part of the Sloan Sports, the Sloan MIT Sports Business Conference that is going down this weekend. And a man who actually helps put it together and crafts it as well as he does putting a basketball team together. Daryl Morey, the Philadelphia 76ers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Daryl?
Rich, thanks for having me on. I'm going to rub Scott Drew's head to try and get that championship vibe. So
you know what? I had a chat with him. He seems like he's walking on air. Cloud nine, man. That's what it's
I'm
all
happy.
About.
I'm happy. Yeah, he's been, I think he's been at it about 20 years like me, so it gives me hope. Maybe this is the year. So
how does an NBA executive like yourself watch March Madness? How do you take it in? Daryl.
I mean, you take it in a little bit like a fan. It's hard not to. You get into the drama, especially the close games. But at the same time, you're thinking about your own team and saying, huh, could this guy fit in? Could that guy fit in? And I've found that as, you know, because I've had some good teams and some not as good teams, when your team's worse, the players in the tournament seem better. And when the team is better, like we have a great team now, I'm like, well, that guy could never guard Joel Embiid, so I can't use him, you know. So it's interesting.
Well, Joel, how's he doing? Is that the world's largest knee brace? I don't know. Were you ever around if Yao ever needed one? I mean, that looks like.
What do you think? I've been through a lot of 7-footer, you know, injuries. It turns out once you get reach 7 feet, things start to not. Evolution didn't anticipate that very well, so you generally have some things to deal with. But we're excited. Joel's back. Looks like. As good as ever, you know, as he led us to victory versus the Celtics. He takes special joy in beating the Celtics, I found.
Well, here you are tied best record in the Eastern Conference as you and I are sitting here, Daryl. How well positioned do you think your team is right now for the run that you hope to achieve with Doc and this squad?
Very good. I mean, we'd like to hold on to first. I do think the one seed will probably have a little bit easier of a path this year, hopefully. That second round being important. And then the home court, I think us and Milwaukee and Brooklyn are all pretty evenly matched, as shown by our records. We're all within like a game or so of each other. So it could come down to home court. And, you know, usually comes down to the big studs, you know, Joel and Tobias and Ben for us and the stars on the other teams, who plays the best.
And so just a couple more questions here before we turn to the 15th annual MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference that I'll be taking part in here later on this week. So when you're talking about home court, obviously being not having to travel and certainly the way the conditions are right now, that's important. But is there a conversation about if more, you know, we're just a few days away from apparently any person over the age of, I guess, 16, depending on the vaccine, to get it. Is there a conversation going on in the NBA right now, Daryl, about vaccinating as many players as possible and then maybe having the arenas open up and things becoming a little bit more back to normal in time for the playoffs? Have you already heard that type of conversation?
Yeah, no, it's great because it's spring and everything's new, and you know our arena is at I think 20%, and probably increasing, hopefully, in the not too near future. And you know, our staff and players, the ones that qualify, have been able to get the vaccine, you know, in our area. And yeah, we're moving full speed ahead. And you know, it's been amazing, the rollout. And you know, it does feel like things are hopefully going to be closer to normal. I think all of us will always be wary going forward forever in our lives, but closer to normal down the road.
All right. And have you heard about any pushback maybe from players about getting vaccinated in the NBA at all, Daryl?
Well, no? I think it's something that's a personal choice for everyone. And I think, you know, the majority of our staff and players have chosen to do it, is my sense.
President of Basketball Operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Daryl, I guess on Thursday at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, I'm gonna have at it with J.J. Watt. You and your crack team put this together. What do you want out of this thing with me and J.J.?
Well,
what are you looking for?
I've talked to J.J. for years to come, because obviously he's such an icon and what he's done both on and off. And I would turn to you, Rich. You're more of a football expert than me. My sense was that you could argue for J.J. Watt being the league MVP for two or three seasons out of his career. So it's pretty exciting to have him and what he means. And when we got him, I knew we had to get the best person to talk to him. So
I appreciate that. But my concern is about, you know, analytics here, Daryl, and I'll be honest with you, part of it is, you know, this is not my area of expertise, number one. And number two, to be very honest with you, Daryl, I'm concerned that, you know, once I get through maybe the third round of questions, I get through, you know, the first two times through the order of questions, I'm going to get removed because you're concerned based on the analytics that I might run out of questions towards the end. And I might have be looking over my shoulder the entire time. Daryl, is that part of this?
Don't worry. The people who tune in aren't shy. Well, first off, you're a professional interviewer, so I'm guessing you could probably do 5 hours, but you're being modest. But on top of that, those who, you know, are at the conference and have a ticket, you know, they're going to be able to chat and submit questions. So you won't be short of questions. It'll be more like you having to sift through them, and I'm sure – you know, we got a pro for a reason.
So. Okay, so there's no interview above replacement number. There's no IAR or anything like that that's going to be applied to me mid-interview, and then all of a sudden I get the hook. Like, that's not happening, is what you're saying?
We like the gong show. I love that idea, and we're definitely doing that going forward. But we won't do it to you tomorrow. We wouldn't do that to you.
Okay. I'm just...
I love the idea of being able to gong off, like both the presenter and the moderator. We've had some panels in the past where we could do that. One year, one of the panelists gonged themselves off and went full the movie Naked Gun, and after about 5 minutes, just ran off stage but left his mic hot as he was yelling through the halls, "Bathroom emergency! Bathroom emergency!"
Are you serious?
What?
Who was that? Daryl, who was that? Who was that?
It was on the poker panel. It was on the poker panel.
Poker panel.
Yeah. Helmuth.
Is Helmuth. That's.
So don't do that. Don't do it in the middle of it. Hey, I gotta. JJ, you take over for a bit.
No. It's all on Zoom anyway. So, boy, yeah. You got Elton Brando up here. How'd that happen? Let me look through other people who are here. Jonathan Kraft. And Kevin Demoff, so you got some people up the flow chart in the NFL. Like, did you start this from the beginning, or did you come in the first 15, or what's your history with this?
Yeah, no, it was myself and Jessica Gelman, who's at the, speaking of Jonathan Kraft, she's worked for the Patriots and the Kraft,
yep,
and now
there she is.
Has her own spinoff company called Kager. She and I started in 2006, and it's gotten bigger every year. So as you know, as someone, you know, seeing the evolution in every sport and the NFL even more, you know, it's just something that keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you know, I think the one in the NFL that's definitely talked a lot about at the conference in recent years is that people don't understand why anyone runs the ball at all anymore. It should just be passes every down, essentially.
So what? Yeah, give me just a real quick. Let's just cross streams here a little bit here. So what is, you know, the number one NFL analytic that you've noticed or is discussed, that you've heard being discussed, that that you think is going to get bigger and more prevalent? The conversation of when to go for two, even if you're up eight rather than kicking that extra point, or you're down 14, you go for two as soon as you get your score. Forget about momentum. If you miss the two, you're still down eight. You know, chasing points and things of that nature. What about that one?
Darryl? Yeah, I think if you don't mind, I'll give a little bit of an overview.
Please.
So I think the NBA is like 10 years behind baseball. You know, baseball sort of led the charge here, and I think the NFL is about 10 years behind the NBA and 20 years behind baseball in terms of incorporating it. In the NFL, the first places where you saw it was in player contracts, because the hard cap really forced teams to be, you know, really smart. And obviously the Patriots were one of the teams that was quite a bit ahead in valuing draft picks and things like that. And it's only recently that you've seen it move to on the field. And the pass, it's not quite the big impact that a three, you know, shooting more threes has been in the NBA, but the pass, just on average, again, on average, you still would run. I was joking before, but on average, the pass is something that generally leads to a higher point total on per drive, you know, no matter what yard line you, well, not no matter what, on most yard lines you start on. And so that's a big one. Just the slow increase in passing in the NFL is similar to the increase in three-point shooting in the NBA. And then you get down into the stuff you were talking about, which is really important, the tactical stuff, you know, go on fourth down, go for two, wind onside kick, all that stuff has evolved. And, you know, you see teams that are, you know, a good amount ahead of other teams on that. I think the Ravens are one of those teams right now.
Well, and Darryl, you know, not to get awkward, the day before I'm doing this highly important interview on behalf of your conference with J.J. Watt, but I'm going to do it. I'm still going to go through with it, Darryl, despite, you know, the fact that I have subsequently found out that one of the panels at your conference is entitled "Say Goodbye to the 40-Yard Dash, the Future of NFL Roster Building." It's hard not to take it personally. I'll be very honest with you. Kevin Clark of the Ringer, thank you for not asking me to moderate that panel. But you got Nick Caserio and Kevin Demoff to talk about this, among others. What gives? Is my just
well,
overarching question.
Well, we didn't get approval from your marketing team, but the logo for that panel is your iconic logo with a big red X through it. You know, so that's...
Oh my gosh. Yes. Other than that, what are you talking about?
I'm expecting a letter from your lawyers in a few hours.
Yes. Now, so. Cease and desist, Darryl. Cease and desist. Come on, man. I mean, is that really what's coming for the future of development and putting a roster together in the NFL? The 40-yard dash is history?
Well, I haven't been part of the planning for that panel. My guess is what they're focused on is what are the key drivers for evaluating draft picks. And my hypothesis is that the Caserio and Demoff are going to say that the 40-yard dash probably isn't the most indicative, which gives hope for your NFL career, Rich, that you don't need to bang a good time to be a great draft pick.
Yeah, by the way, your team has been phenomenal putting this all together. The one thing I just asked is, like, just you got to help me out with data and how you want it to be put in there. And I guess for J.J. Watt, the data that I have is that about herniated discs and torn left pectoral muscles, about coming back and what the average is and what the percentage of coming back and all and recovery and full-time recovery. I mean, so this analytical data actually helps with health and safety as well, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a big area, and I'm sure you have better context in the NFL than I do, so I'm sure.
No, don't
I'm
say
sure
that. I don't
talk.
Know about that, Darryl. I don't know about that. Sure people knock on your door.
What everyone really wants is for you to get the real story out of J.J. out of coming out of Houston, so that'll be your unique challenge.
Well, I will do that the minute you give me the hardened one first.
That is touche. That is touche.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
I can't even say certain words that you just said.
I don't want to get you in trouble. I'm here to help. I'm here to help and facilitate, and I look forward to tomorrow's chat. How can people, you know, see this, get involved, or knock on the door to see any of this stuff, Darryl?
Yeah, if you go to MITSSAC.com, MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, so MITSSAC.com, and get your ticket, and see J.J. Watt and Mark Cuban and Demoff and everyone you just mentioned. But it's pretty fun. Going to be a pretty fun year.
Well, I appreciate, as always, I appreciate being part of your Rolodex. I'll help you out in any way I can, and I look forward to that chat tomorrow. And I appreciate the time today, Darryl. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me on, Rich. I appreciate it.
It's Darryl Moore, everybody. President of basketball operations of TJ Jefferson's Philadelphia 76ers.
Take that for data.
Next time, we'll ask Darryl about the analytics of one human being having 19 favorite sports teams.
Take that for data.
And the odds of winning a championship or not having your team win a championship.
That tells you that I'm not a bandwagon fan, guys.
19 different teams that they claim is their best.
Minus 10. There's 9 of them, okay?
That was great.
So, yeah, the information that they gave me.
It's incredible.
You know, because TJ Watt, it is about coming back from injury. That's the conversation to have here. Herniated disc, for average person, 5 to 10% recurrence of a herniated disc in future once you've had one. That's a rate is high, significantly higher for elite athletes in high contact sports. An NFL tackle produces 1,600 pounds of force, which is, I guess, a different way of putting, you know, that line from Jerry Maguire about the human head size, right?
Right. It weighs 8 pounds.
Torn left pectoral muscle. Doctors originally said a 3 to 4 month recovery. JJ came back in less than 2. There's all different sorts of analytics. I have no idea how I'm going to incorporate it.
Wow. Real quick, going out the door, Rich, we're talking about quarterbacks in the top of the draft.
Yes,
Justin
sir.
Fields is going to throw again. Ohio State's holding a second pro day next week on the 14th.
Love it.
Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers will be there.
Of course. Great idea. Great idea. I think that's great. Get another round of like OMG on your side, some buzz, and get some teams seeing it. And I love it. Of course, Shanahan's going to show up there. What if they've just totally decided it's Mac Jones? Shanahan's going to show up there saying, you want Justin Fields?
Come get him.
We'll move down to 4. Get more.
Wow.
And get my guy anyway.
You know, I'm not a Niners fan.
I'm serious. Why not?
That could be.
Make people think. You never know what can happen.
Oh,
the phone rings and then all of a sudden your world cracks open again.
Yep.
Plans change, right?
They do.
Real quick.
Plans change. Not
Thanks
for long.
Scott Drew, Bobby Lashley, Bubba Wallace, and Daryl Morey. That wraps it up for this Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We will see you on our Thursday show on the radio, back on Peacock to set the stage for everybody on that, and Brother from Another.